lame Catholic joke about this gospel, which you might have already heard. The Lord sets this whole thing up and says to the crowd, "Will the one without you, will the one among you without sin be the first to throw a stone at her?" Over his shoulder, a rock comes flying, hits the girl, and Jesus turns and says, "Mom." Yeah, it's dumb. But don't mess with Mary. That's the moral of the story. Shorter time this morning for a homily, but a couple of thoughts about this beautiful gospel and the time that we have today. First of all, you've heard me say, as the season has gone on, that the Sundays of Lent drive the season by their themes. They give a particular emphasis to them. And in this particular year, year C in our rotating cycle, the theme of Sundays 3, 4, and 5, which this is the last, number 5, are all about conversion. That's the umbrella under which all these readings fall. So the church wants to think about a change of heart. How does it happen? What does it mean? What does it lead us to in the Lord Jesus' company? So conversion is the theme. And we should think about this gospel story under that heading. That's how the church wants us to move through our text today. So some points about conversion from the story. How about conversion from the perspective and position of the poor woman caught in this ugly scene in the temple in Jerusalem? Well, it seems she was converted, right? Because in the gospel stories, whenever we hear Jesus say, "Go forth and sin no more," most of the time what that means is the person has had a change of heart. Something has happened. They have moved and they walk forward in a different and new pathway in grace. So it's safe to assume that it happened in this case. So that tells us, therefore, that when it comes to her past decisions and her past lifestyle, Jesus does not gloss over the wrong, doesn't say she was innocent, doesn't change the fact that there were things that were mistakes in her past. That stands as a fact, and that must be understood. But she's walked away from them, and she walks a new pathway. So we could ask the question, what brought it about? What changed her heart? What brought her to this awareness to convert like she obviously did? Maybe it was the fact that for a brief moment here, she was terrified by the angry mob around her, by the threat of death. And certainly that's a motivator to convert. We certainly can't agree. One doesn't want to dismiss that as a cause and a change of heart, sure. But I think, though, that what the church wants to sit with for this Sunday isn't so much that motivator, our angry neighbors, although it is helpful, I'll agree. I think what we want to think about is the fact that what moved her heart was the God that she encountered in this story, this face of God the Most High. How does Jesus handle her? How does he treat it? He simply says to her, "Yes, I understand there was wrong. I love you anyway, and you have a second chance. Go try again. I know there was wrong. I love you anyway. Try again." Is that not how we want, I think, to be handled our own selves too if we make mistakes in life? When we meet somebody, we say, "I'm sorry." We don't want to hear, "I'm done with you. I'm through. That's it. You're finished. No more second chances." No, instead, what I think we want to hear and how we want to be is what the Lord sets out for us as this model. "Yes, I know you messed up. You can't change the fact that it was wrong. I love you anyway. Second chance. Try again. Do better in my grace." So I think her heart is moved because she meets a God who is merciful and who is fair and who offers another shot at salvation. We meet that God, too, in the season of Lent. The season is to bring us to that point. We meet our Lord Jesus, who, if we have just one tear of contrition, treats us in the same way he treats this woman. "You have mistakes? Yep. Can't change that fact. I love you anyway. Try again. Walk forward in the new chapter of your life." What about conversion from the perspective of this little mob with the stones in their hands, the elders and those around them? They're converted too. Because when the scene opens up, they have rocks in their hands to kill this woman under the law of Moses, as they interpret it anyway. And when the whole thing ends, they walk away one at a time. They drop the stones and they leave. So they are converted too. What moves them in this scene? I would submit that what it was the Lord Jesus again, who they encountered in his case. And what he does for them, it's very clever. He, with a simple expression, with just one line, puts them in her position. He switches the roles. He brings it home to them that, frankly, they're no better than she is. And when one understands where one's position is in this argument, one all of a sudden realizes they got to back off. That's called empathy, right? So to put it another way, it's not so much that God says to all of us this morning, yeah, stone this woman and that man for your sins. No, no. The fact is, if we're honest about it, we've all got it coming. That's the point. Before God who is perfect, before our judge who is mighty, nobody escapes condemnation, not one. That's the simple fact that he put before these people in the story. All of you deserve it, he says, not just her, you all do. You go first. That stops them in their tracks and they realize they're in her same position. And then they walk away. Lent as a season is designed to do that for us as well, too, as believers. It's to make us realize that before God, we all stand in condemnation. And only by his kindness does he give us another shot. He gives them a second shot, too. And they take it and they walk away, hopefully changed by the encounter. So that's it. That's how it works. So that's conversion, right? In the case of the woman, she meets the merciful God who helps her to see that she's loved, that the failures are there. We can't gloss over what is right or wrong in the story. And she walks away with a new chapter. When it comes to the crowd, same thing, right? They walk away with hopefully a chance to reassess themselves and think about it anew. I think, last little piece, you know, we're all obligated to point out flaws to other people. It would be a mistake to walk away from this gospel thinking that that's not what's happening here. The scriptures tell us all the time, correct your sister, correct your brother. We are to point out wrongs when we see it. But maybe when we understand that we are all under the same umbrella of wrongdoing, it softens our approach, it changes our hearts, and we handle it a little nicer way than we would if we thought that we were the perfect ones in the whole situation, because frankly, none of us happen to be. So there's conversion at work in that thing too, right? We all have the duty to point out what needs to be changed. The way we do it is always the question. And that's at work in the story in a very powerful way. So with that, we got 2 weeks of Lent that are left. Let us spend the rest of the time that we have meeting our Lord Jesus with his merciful face, with his fair judgment, with his reality that we all stand under the same umbrella, and with the fact that as we meet him with a tear in our eyes and anything torn in our hearts, he gives us a second chance. He says, I know you messed up. I love you. Try again. New chapter in my mercy.